You're listening to an East Point Church podcast. East Point Church gathers to make much of Jesus Christ by knowing Him and making Him known. For more information on East Point Church, please visit our website at epcmwc.org.
He is good. Amen. Amen. Jesus is better. Something that we see all through the book of Hebrews as we've been walking through on this journey for quite a while, and we are going to keep on pushing through. If you're visiting with us this morning, we're in the book of Hebrews. We've been in here for several months as we just exposit all the way through this book and just some amazing things. Our theme has been from day one, it's simply this: Jesus is better. And I want to start today, this morning, just by saying that it is always a privilege, and it's also very humbling to be up here, and it's not something that anyone that's up here preaching, whether it's Cody or Josh or myself, that we take lightly. And so that we always pray that God's word is what's going to be heard, and that's what we desire. We desire that God would speak to your heart, that the Holy Spirit would teach you and speak to you. We never want our opinions or wrong thinking to come through. And so what I do is I stand firm on several verses each week as we study God's word. And with this in mind, I want to give you some encouragement. These truths, these promises are so good for us to be reminded as we come into this place and as we are so blessed to worship together. And as we get ready to dig into the book of Hebrews, I want to just share some verses with you for your own encouragement as you listen to God's word this morning. And it's just going to be a little progression, and I could use tons of verses, but just listen to these as we think about getting ready to open God's word and hear from Him. John 1:1 says this: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Amen? Amen. John 14:6, as we think about, okay, we're going to open up God's word. Well, how do we know that His word is truth? John 14:6 says this: "Jesus Himself said to him, 'I am the way and the' what? The truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Do we need God's word? Absolutely. Do we need to spend time with Jesus? Absolutely. How are we to grow? John 15:5 says this: "I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me," apart from Jesus, "you can do" what? "Nothing." We've got to stay connected to God's word. We've got to listen to his word. So we open up his word, and you might be out there, you might be doubting. Listen to this, 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." Now, you might be in here this morning, and as you hear the truth of God's word, as you hear the gospel clearly, and you feel something, you feel that that is truth, and you feel that, listen to this, Hebrews 4:12, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." What you feel is God's word speaking to your heart because it's alive. And you're like, "Well, that doesn't make sense to me." Well, what you feel, that's truth. That's the gospel. And then as we hear the truth, Romans 10:17, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." Isn't that amazing? That's amazing. So I stand here and I trust in those promises as we open up God's word. Those promises give us strength as we hear the truth of Scripture. The Bible is His voice all the time as believers come and young believers, and they say, "Chris, how do I listen to God's voice? How do I hear God's voice?" His word is truth. His gospel is the good news. We have His word given to us. The gospel is His good news. Faith comes from hearing the gospel. And so we approach this passage this morning with really great excitement, don't we? And anticipation of what God is going to do through His word. Let's pray this morning. God, we are so grateful to be here. We're so thankful to worship together as the family of God. We're so thankful for even now, just at this moment in history, that we in this place have the freedom to come and open up your word. Lord, your scripture, your truth to us, Lord, let us listen to it. I pray that we would hear the gospel, that we would hear your good news. And by hearing, that would produce faith. I pray if there's someone here this morning that has doubts, someone here that this morning has fear and anxiety, someone here this morning that knows that you're and feels that you're calling to them, that they would respond. That they would hear, that faith would be given to them. They would come to you. That they would accept this free gift of incredible salvation by faith. Lord, speak to our hearts. Speak to us as we look at this incredible person, Moses, and his faith. And so, Lord, we love you. And we proclaim that you are better, that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we thank you for what you did for us on the cross, that you rose again, defeating death. And so we worship you this morning. And it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. So turn your Bible to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. As Cody reminded us last week, we have been here in this chapter for a while, haven't we? Last night, on Saturday nights, in our family devotion before bed, I always read the passage that we're going to be in the next morning so we can kind of start thinking about it. And one of my children, I won't name their names, they're like, "Dad, how many verses are in this chapter?" It's like, 40. Yeah, so and we're only doing two? Yeah. But this is good stuff. This is really good stuff. So we journey through this. And again, you know, we're kind of this, we want everything quick and fast and now. And so, you know, sermon series, we see those as we drive by churches, like here's how to do this. Here's how to have a great marriage. Here's how to have relationships. And that's all good. We see that all through Scripture. But we are in, we walk through this book and every verse, every passage is filled with truth that we can see from God, and then he will give us what we need to go live out our faith in Jesus Christ. So we look at chapter 11, and we've been spending a lot of time here, but we see so many awesome things. So what we've got to do is continually ask a couple of questions of the text, of the passage. And so we ask a few questions. One is this: what is the central idea of this text or this passage or this chapter? What is the central truth? What is this encouragement that the writer of Hebrews is giving to God's people? What is the writer who is inspired by God getting across to his listeners? And so in order to kind of answer that and kind of keep this all in perspective, we need to go back, as we did last week, to chapter 10. So look back at chapter 10 and look at a couple of verses. We got to think about that the church that the writer was writing to was a church that was facing persecution again. They had already faced persecution, but they were facing it again. We think about the church, and many of the church that he was writing to, they were wanting to hide. Some of them were thinking about kind of shrinking back. Some of them were even thinking about going back to Judaism. And so the writer boldly says, if you look back at verse 10, chapter 10, verse 35, it says, "Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. Don't throw away your faith, your confidence in God's promises." And then a few verses down, Hebrews 10:39, it says this: "But we are not, believers, we are not those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls." He's saying, believers, don't throw away your confidence. You have Jesus. You stand firm on the promises of God. Your faith is in God's promises and what he's promised. And so don't be those that shrink back and are destroyed. And so then he begins this beautiful chapter about faith. And he starts it off, chapter 11, verse 1. "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for." And if we looked at that word, it said conviction. It's settled. It's firm. Assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And then he says, let's go back. Let's go back and remember. Let's go back and look back at people, real humans that had incredible faith. And he begins to describe within this description of their faith the beautiful sovereignty of God. And last week we began looking at maybe, and we looked, I mean, all through chapter 11, we saw all these great, great people, not superhumans, right? Not superheroes. Their faith was not perfect all the way through their life, but we see at key moments how God was guiding them, how God gave them faith, how that in those moments they stood firm on the promises of God. So last week, Cody, we began looking at maybe one of the most famous people in Jewish history, and maybe next to Jesus, the most famous person in Christianity, and that is who? Moses. That's right, Moses. Think about it. I mean, non-believers have heard of Moses, right? I mean, Moses was so famous that he was even nominated for several Academy Awards. When you think about that, or maybe that was Charlton Heston. Anyway, Moses has been in Branson for several years. Okay, I think Samson's coming next. They turned Moses into animated musicals. That was DreamWorks, not Disney. That's what you were thinking of last week, DreamWorks. But seriously, Moses was special. We know that he was special. To the Jews, Moses was the greatest of all men. Listen to the very end of Deuteronomy at this epitaph at the end of the book concerning Moses. Listen to what was written about him, and you'll be right up here on the screen. Deuteronomy 34, verses 10 through 12. "And there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. None like him for all the signs and the wonders that the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, and for all the mighty power and all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of all Israel." Moses was special because he was called and chosen by God. Was he a perfect man? No, but Moses had faith. And in those key moments, Moses did not fear man, or simply his faith in God's promises drove out fear. Look at Hebrews 11:23. This is where we were last week. He was special because God chose him and protected him by faith. His parents protected him by faith. He was special because by faith, in verse 24, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He, by faith, chose God, right? He said, this is better. God's reward is better than the fleeting pleasures of sin. He saw that God's ways were truly better than even the enjoyment of sin. In fact, he considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth. He had everything, if you think about, and maybe your understanding of Moses are those movies, I don't know. But you think about those images of him in Pharaoh's palace, and he had everything that he wanted. But he was chosen by God, and he considered leaving that. He considered Christ being better. Considering that Jesus is better will always, always drive out fear. Faith in God will always lead to obedience. And so this morning, we're going to continue looking at a couple of verses as we look at Moses. So what was Moses' faith? First of all, Moses showed faith by keeping his eyes fixed on God. Look at verse 27. He kept his eyes fixed on God. By faith, verse 27, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now, I think we've got to be careful here. We talk about, you know, Moses did not fear man. He didn't fear the wrath of the king. But we've got to be careful because it would be easy to read this and think that Moses was superhuman, that he never experienced or faced fear. He faced lots of fear, right? He faced fear. We all face fear. But if you read the Old Testament narrative, we know that he experienced fear as he fled from Pharaoh the first time. And then the second time that he fled Egypt, he was with God's people, and Pharaoh was definitely not happy with him, right? So both times he left Egypt, he was in big trouble. Big trouble. He was running first time from, you know, from what he had done and had killed the Egyptian, and he left. And the second time, all the plagues had happened, and he was taking out all of Egypt's slaves. I mean, he was in trouble. The pressure that Moses faced in both of these moments was definitely fear. He faced that fear because of the anger and the wrath of the king. But it's what he did with that fear. He had faith. He saw something that was unseen, and so he continued. He didn't cower in that fear. He didn't let that fear debilitate him. And I think this is one of our greatest pressures as believers. Fear, right? My wife and I have been talking about fear this week because we face it, don't we? I'm gonna go out on a limb here. Raise your hand if you have ever experienced fear. Okay, so this is good, right? This is something that we get. Fear is real, and it is debilitating. Fear is one of Satan's most powerful weapons. Powerful. And therefore, he uses it all the time. There's this Zach Williams song that just came out on the radio the last couple of weeks. And here's the chorus, and I really like it. Probably because I was dealing with all this. It says this. The chorus says, "Fear, he is a liar. He will take your breath. He will stop you in your steps. Fear, he is a liar. He will rob your rest. He will steal your happiness. So cast your fear in the fire, because fear, he is a liar." We're all tempted to fear, aren't we? We're all tempted. We're afraid because we might be seen as different if we stand up for Jesus. We fear because we might even lose a job if we stand on God's truth. We're afraid of criticism. Here's what I think is interesting. A lot of times we fear criticism from people we don't even respect. Isn't that weird? We're so worried about what someone might think about us. Moses was tempted to fear, but Moses did something. He kept his eyes on Jesus. He kept his eyes on God. Verse 27, "For he endured as seeing him who is invisible." That's awesome. He did not look at the stuff of the world. He kept his eyes on God. He left Egypt not being afraid of the wrath of the king because his eyes were fixed on God and his promises. And so the question for us this morning is simply this: where are your eyes fixed? Where are your eyes fixed? What are you looking to? Are your eyes on Jesus? Or are you so wrapped up in all this stuff that causes fear and anxiety? If your eyes are fixed on this world or on this government or on your paychecks or on the stock market or on media, if your eyes are fixed on what goofy celebrities are telling you, if your eyes are fixed constantly on your phones or on your own intelligence or on stuff or what some smart, intelligent person says about something, if your eyes are fixed on anything other than Christ and his word, there will be fear in your life. Did you hear that? If your eyes are fixed on anything but Jesus, I promise you, you're going to fear and experience fear. You're going to have anxiety. You're going to have worry. And guess what? Satan will use that against you over and over. Another thing that happens is if we take our eyes off Christ, you know what's going to happen? You're going to start drifting away from his truth. You're going to start drifting away from what is truth. And you're going to look up one day and go, "Oh my goodness, how did I get way over here?" Or you're going to get up one day and you're like, "Oh, how did I get over here? This is actually okay. This feels pretty good. These fleeting pleasures of sin." And you're going to continue to drift. Texting and driving, raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. Dangerous. Dangerous. It's like an epidemic. Like, it's become the new drunk driving almost. I mean, it's kind of paired with that. But, you know, if you've ever done it, you know what happens. You look down for even a split second, and when you get up, you have drifted in your car. you've drifted either into that other lane or your oncoming car. You've drifted over here. You start hearing that, you know, on the side because you're trying to do something and look down and not keeping your eyes on the road. Keep your eyes on Christ. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Moses had to keep his eyes on God. Moses showed faith by keeping his eyes fixed on Christ. Look at verse 27 again. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king. Now I know he was tempted to fear, but he kept his eyes on God, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. The second thing that we see in these two verses about Moses' faith is this: Moses showed faith by keeping the Passover. Let's look at verse 28. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. Here's what Moses did. Moses showed faith by accepting the provisions of God. He kept the Passover. In fact, if you look at the original language, the original language kind of shows that he actually instituted the Passover. Now, we know that was God's deal, but Moses helped institute this whole thing. But he kept it by faith. He kept the Passover, and this showed faith because what he was doing is he was accepting the provisions of God. Now, if you go back to that time, we remember what was going on. Pharaoh's heart was hardened. And the 10th plague that God sent on the Egyptians, because he kept saying, I'll let you go. And then he would change his mind. His heart was hardened. And so God kept saying, this is going to happen to you. And so on that 10th plague, that God sent on the Egyptians was the death of all the firstborn. But God, in his sovereignty, in his love, provided a way of salvation. And in order to be protected, the Passover was instituted. Lamb's blood was sprinkled on the doorposts and the lintels of their house. And this act was done in faith. And if it was done, the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch them. That was a provision by God. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that awesome that he would do that? Now, we know that the blood itself did not have the power. The lamb's blood did not have the power. It was the act of obedience, right? It was the act of faith in doing exactly what God commanded, that if they did that, then he would provide salvation. The people of Israel, they didn't even understand the full significance of all this. But we do, don't we? We can look back and we see that beautiful symbolic picture of Christ's sacrifice in which he conquered death for all who believe in him. Christ conquered the greatest fear of all, and that is what? Death. So we're here today, this morning, to sing songs to him, to praise him for what he's done for us. This is so amazing of what Jesus did for us on the cross, because we see in Scripture, in God's truth, all Scripture is breathed out by God. It is truth, and we see in Scripture that for the wages of sin is death. And yet, in God's great love for us, he provided salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ. He provided salvation for all who believe, for all who trust, for all who have faith. This is the gospel, and this is why we call it the good news. That is good news, isn't it? To be given a way to salvation, a way that protects us from death. You see, when a believer accepts Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they are accepting by faith God's incredible provision for salvation. And that's what Moses did here. Now the world, they're going to tell you the opposite. They're going to say, hey, just be good enough. Just try to be good. Just be nice enough. Try to be a good person. I mean, you see that all over the place. You see it in all other religions. You see it in all non-believers that are just lost, like if you're just good enough. And then we hope, maybe if you're good enough, you hope that everything's going to work out in the end. You know what Isaiah said? 64:6, he said this: we have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. All those good things you think you've done, all those good things like, well, if we just stand before God, maybe we've been good enough. Isaiah's saying, here's the truth, guys. All those good things you've done are like filthy rags, polluted garments. There is nothing you can do to earn your way to salvation. The believer accepts the righteousness given to us by Christ. By faith, the believer accepts the provision of salvation by God. Only Jesus could take away our sins. Only Jesus can defeat and conquer death. And so for the believer, we're accepting the provisions of God's incredible grace. It's a provision of salvation. Moses, by faith, kept his eyes fixed on Jesus, on God. And that drove out the fear. It drove out the fear. There was fear to be that he was tempted with. He had Pharaoh chasing him. Both times. He had the opportunity to be completely taken back by fear, but he kept his eyes on Jesus Christ, on God, on his promises. He also, when the time came for the provision of salvation, he fulfilled it. He obeyed. He kept the Passover and accepted the provision of salvation given by God by faith. And so we look at that and we see what Jesus has done for us. And if you're a believer this morning, if you're here this morning, you say, I know Jesus. I believe in Jesus. Then you, by faith, which has been given to you as a gift, have accepted this incredible provision of salvation. You've accepted the righteousness from Jesus because your righteousness is like a filthy garment. But Christ cleans us up. And that is, I still am blown away by that, that someday when I stand before a holy, just God, that I don't have to give him some list of all these things that I tried to do. All he's going to look at, he's going to see me and he's going to see Jesus in me. He's going to see Christ's righteousness. It's amazing. That is amazing. Aren't you thankful for Jesus? Have you accepted by faith this incredible gift of salvation? Moses showed faith by keeping the Passover, by accepting God's provision on the cross. Jesus conquered death, therefore conquering fear. And so my question is this. Where are your eyes? What are they fixed on? If you're lost this morning and you say, no, I've tried really hard to be good, and every time I try, I fail. And I live with constant fear and worry and anxiety, and I don't know what to believe. The gospel is here. The gospel is clear. Are you hearing the gospel this morning? This is the good news. Jesus is the only way to salvation. He said it himself. I am the way. I am the truth. I am life. No way else can you get to salvation except through Jesus, through me. Do you need salvation this morning? For the believer, those of us that it is so hard to keep our eyes fixed because there's so many distractions, and yet we sit here, many of us just in fear. Will you take your eyes off the stuff of this world and focus on Jesus Christ, his word, his truth? Will you abide in him? Because apart from him, you can't do anything. Will you abide in him? Turn your eyes to Jesus, because Jesus is better. Let's pray.